The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
This is the Mormon Channel. The program is Into All the World. I'm Tim Taggart. Today we're visiting with President Valentin Nunez from the Santiago, Chile, San Miguel Stake. President, how are you today?
I'm really fine. I'm very glad to be here talking to you.
It's such a pleasure to visit with you today as well. Tell us, if you would, just a little bit about the area in Santiago and a little bit about your stake and what the situation is.
Okay, well, Santiago is the capital of my country, Chile, and I live here with, I would say, 5 more million people, and it's a very nice town, a little bit crowded sometimes, but it's a very good place to live, and we have a lot of facilities, and it is where the church has more stakes. We have over 30 stakes in town. And I preside over the San Miguel stake, Santiago, Chile. And this stake is located on the, I would say, southwest part of the town. Mm-hmm. And San Miguel is what we call a kind of county or a comuna, we call it in Spanish, and I would say that 200,000 people live there. Mm-hmm. And we have a little bit more than 2,100 members of the church living in San Miguel.
Terrific.
It's not a big stake, really. It is what we call a walking stake. You can go walking from one side to the other.
That's great.
If you please.
And that's a sign of the real growth of the church when geographically the stake becomes small enough because of the size of the membership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a lot of excitement and activity and fellowship among the members because of that closeness as well.
Yes, you know, since we're so close, we can share a lot, and members can attend almost any activity we program because it's not difficult for them. You know, I would say that any member of my stake could go walking to the stake center to attend meetings or any kind of activities.
Which is great.
It makes it easier for us.
Yeah, very helpful. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, and your family. Tell us how you came to find the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a convert. Is it right to say that?
Uh-huh.
Convert? A convert?
Yes.
To the church. I joined the church when I was 17, and I was resting in my home, I remember, and two young guys came to my door and knocked at it, and they delivered in our home a survey about religion. My sister received this document and filled it out. And a couple of days later, they came to pick the document up.
Uh-huh.
And one of the last questions on this survey, it was if you were willing to know a little bit more about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When my sister answered this question, she was not pretty sure what church was that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, she wrote a yes. We want to know a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days later, one of the same guys, but in company of a missionary of the church, came back again. And they said they came to teach us about the church. And my sister let them in. I was not so sure about listening to these two guys. But something happened when they spoke about Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon. I don't know why. I I thought to be a non-believer before that. But when they spoke about these parts of the gospel, it made sense to me what they said. And even though I was firm in not letting them to convince me about their ideas, while I read the Book of Mormon, I felt something that I couldn't resist. Somehow I knew from the very beginning of the talk that they were telling things that were truth. So I put attention, especially on the book, and I read it, I would say, a lot. Maybe I finished reading the book before they finished teaching us the discussions.
Wow.
And I would say 3 weeks later, we were baptized in the church. At first, my sister and me, and 1 week later, my mother. That was my family at that time.
Uh-huh.
And we all became members of the church. After a year, when I was 18, I was called to serve a mission and was sent to, how do you call that, very austral mission, the mission maybe most south in the world.
Oh, yeah.
If it is right to say that, it is called the Chile Osorno Mission.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in there, I served 2 years, and then my conversion was completely at that time. And only good memories I have from that special time. My mission is like a magical place, a dream where I once lived.
Yeah.
And I came back 2 years later and worked for a year, saved up some money, and fulfilled one of my dreams to travel a little bit. I went to visit some friends living in Denmark. I stayed there for a year. And after a year, as I said, I came back. I started my education. I became a lawyer after a while.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I found a terrific girl, very faithful woman in the church, and we married. Now we are the proud parents of 3 kids, 2 girls, 1 son, of 12, 9, and 5 years old each.
Wonderful.
And I've been serving in the church ever since. I mean, since I came back from my mission, serving in several positions. Maybe the 2 or 3 remarkable ones are 2 times bishop, and for 8 years now, stake president. And it's been a great time. Serving the Lord has been great. My wife feels also so grateful to the Lord for these opportunities, because even though it takes a lot of my time out of my home, my wife respond to the general authorities who extended my calling, who extended the calling to me as a stake president. He said to them that the most I served the Lord, the most the Lord protected our family.
Yeah.
So we have been blessed. We have been really blessed in the church. I'm so happy for taking a wise decision to join the church so many years ago.
You know, and it's so interesting because your story is almost the story of the church, the growth, the youthful testimony of the Spirit, and then the growth of the church over generations. And you see that leadership experience that comes from the mission field, as well as, you know, learning the doctrine so well. And then what a blessing it's been to so many people since then, as you've had an opportunity to teach others and be an influence and a help for others.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what the church is all about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about missionary work in your stake. What percentage of your missionaries are North American? What percentage are local missionaries or from other areas? And how does the missionary work go in Chile, in Santiago?
Well, Well, I can tell you that we have 9 missions in Chile, in the Chile area. My stake is located in what we call the Santiago West Mission. We have, almost 200 missionaries serving that mission. And serving in my stake, there are 14 missionaries. And we have a kind of balance between, I would say, one-third of the missionaries are American, one-third are Chilean, and another third are from Argentina, Peru, Colombia, some from Bolivia. A big amount comes from countries within South America.
Terrific. That's great. What is the way that missionaries find people to teach in your stake?
The way they find?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have, in this time, by this time, they do it mostly in two ways. One of them, it is self-initiative. They look for people, making contacts and trying to find them through active members. And the other half come from running a program that is fostered by the area presidents here in Chile called, in Spanish, is permanecer. That in English would be like abiding, like abiding in the church. And it is a program following the instructions of our prophet, President Monson, going to rescue the lost battalions. And they visit a lot of missionaries and members of the church. We visit a lot of non-active members. And by visiting them, by trying to activate them, most of the time they found people that are not members of the church, but that they belong to the family, to that family of members of the church that are inactive. So, for example, I have a recent experience of Brother Torres, who belongs to the Juan Griego ward in my stake. He joined the church when he was a little kid. I would say not so kid, but at the age of 8 years old. But after a couple of years, he got completely inactive because he was so young and their parents were not so strong in the church. For many years, he was inactive. But by running this program, by doing what the prophet said, we members and the missionaries visited his home. And by this visit, he came active again. After a couple of weeks, he had the chance to baptize his wife, two of the kids that grew up without becoming members of the church, and he was he's now fully active. I had the blessing to sustain him 2 months ago as an elder in the church. He was ordained an elder 2 days later. And now they're getting ready, making all the arrangement to go to the temple when his wife reaches a year as a member of the church. And in the last weeks, we have quite many members coming back and not receiving the blessings of becoming active again in the church, but also they have the chance to bring their families into the gospel who were not members of the church. So I would say we have a balance, a perfect balance between self-initiative of the missionaries and this program of the Chilean Area Presidency, abiding.
That's terrific, and what a great way to put families together. So many times those who aren't active in the church, once they can start feeling the Spirit again, remember what they miss, and they will come back and then bring with them their family. That's wonderful. Appreciate you sharing that story. That's marvelous.
Yes, it is.
What have been the blessings of having the temple in your area. It's such a beautiful temple and a beautiful setting. The valley there with Santiago and the mountains and that beautiful temple and its setting. How has the temple been an influence on the gospel in Chile?
Well, I would say that the temple, it is the same influence to the Chilean people that it is for the rest of the members throughout the world. The temple is the house of the Lord. It is a real beacon in our town. And besides, it's a so beautiful building. The temple is a loved place by the Chilean people, and we have been learning about the temple by the years, through the years, because we have been with it since 1983. We had it closed for a year to be repaired, and we had a blessing to have President Hinckley coming in 2006 to rededicate the temple for us. And it is a place of peace. Most of the members of the church attend to the temple. And I'm not sure if you're aware about the Chilean geography, but it is a very long, long land. And the Santiago, the capital, is located in the middle of this long land. And so members from the borders, or members from, I would say, the top and the bottom of the country are very far from it. And you could say that it's so long the distance that they would have reasons not to attend the temple. But it's so overwhelming to see every week buses full of people coming to the temple with people that have been traveling for 1, 2, maybe 3 days to attend the temple. And I can tell you my own experience with the members of my stake. It is that the most the members attend the temple is the spirituality of those members is growing up. In the last years, the temple has been increasing their attendance. And at that point, that maybe you're aware that President Monson just announced the construction of another temple in the southern part of the country. For many years, we went willing that. And I can really tell you, and I think that my words represent the feelings of the Chilean people, that, and these words are that we love the temple, and it is where we find peace, where we find a very strong spirit, where we can pray, where we can go and do ordinances for our forefathers. I can tell you, it is a blessing. That is the word that I would use for the temple in Santiago. It is just a magnificent blessing of the Lord. We're so grateful to Him for considering that one and the new one that will come soon.
And isn't it wonderful as we have those temples in our midst and the influence it has on the members and on the non-members alike who feel a special spirit about it, something very different, and it's a maturing of the church to be able to have the members so engaged with the temple work.
Yeah, and you're right, and I can tell you that for the open house of the temple, the amount of non-members coming to see what it was incredible. It was crowded almost every day that the open house lasted. So non-members look at the temple as well as we do.
Mm-hmm. Have you had some comments from people you work with or others you know about the temple? Did they have an opportunity of seeing it?
Well, at that time I had a chance to invite a judge. I went working for a civil court, and the judge of that court came to visit the temple, and she was so impressed, and she said, well, she belongs to the Jewish religion. And she said that this is the most, this building was so much like the temples of the Old Testament or so much like the thought she has or she had about how temples should be. She said to me that a special feeling came to her when walking through the rooms of the temple in the open house. She was so impressed. And most of our members always say to us that it is so beautiful. It is the whole ground, the whole temple square is a very peaceful place. Many people just stop by and stay there a little bit just to look at. They for sure are curious about what is going on inside the walls. But the gardens are so beautiful too, and many people just want to spend a short time just looking at it. It's a peaceful place for them too.
Yeah, beautiful place. The program is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart, and we're visiting today with President Valentin Nunes from the Santiago, Chile, San Miguel stake. It's been a real pleasure to visit with you today, President. Tell us a little bit about how the non-members are reacting to the church. Do they know what the Mormon Church is? Are they a little bit overcoming prejudices against the church over time? How are the non-members about the church these days?
Well, I think that the people think of us in a very warm way because the church has been a good influence to the people here in Chile. They are most of the time so impressed of how kind the people is, how kind the Mormon people behave all the time. And some of them, maybe some religious leaders, sometimes they try not to lose some of the members. So they lift up some rumors and things against the church. But it's not that terrible, I would say, because the church gained a very good reputation through the years. And the perception people have about the church, it is that we're a group of people that help a lot because the church has been helping through these humanitarian programs that they run through the world. And we have been very good connections to the highest leaders of our country. We had a former president of the country called Ricardo Lagos. He's agnostic, so his wife, but they were very kind and close to the church. They visited us sometimes, and his wife, Lady Duran de Lagos, also visited Salt Lake City and Elder Holland visited with her up there, and she was so impressed with how the members of the church are in another part of the country. I can tell you that prejudices are not so strong against this church here in Chile. People have a good idea, a good feeling about the church. And as I said before, the perception about us, it is that we are good workers. We are good helpers, good neighbors. I don't know. I think the reputation of the church is well settled here in Chile. We have no problem with it.
That's marvelous. I remember reading the autobiography of Parley P. Pratt talking about coming to Chile in the very early days of the church and his experience early. And I thought as I read that, how different it would be for him to be able to come back and see now the powerful base of members of the church growing up in the generations and seeing the church growth. He would be amazed.
What I mean about the fourth.
Yeah. As you look at the youth and the challenges that they have and the opportunities they have, what are some of the challenges that the youth are facing in your stake, and how are they dealing with it?
Well, I think it is a worldwide problem, or maybe challenge, that the war or the temptations of the war are so strong now, and they come over our youth, and they in sometimes in big numbers are deceived by these temptations and go astray sometimes. But for those that are members, I could say that the main challenges they face, one of them would be the free access to technology, which is good, but when they don't have limits, when they don't have parents controlling or teaching how to use this technology, this new technology, and I mean specifically internet, some of them look for what they shouldn't and are really tempted. And also something that I consider to be a big risk, it is that the moral of the people here in Chile is becoming more and more flexible. So we see things now that it couldn't be unimaginable 10 years ago. So they see things on the TV or on the internet that are not founded on gospel principles. So I think it is difficult for them. And it is also a powerful attraction to what we call city tribes or urban tribes. Mm-hmm. Is it right to say that?
Yeah.
Urban tribes, we call them that. A kind of groups that they dress in a certain way, they act and react in a certain way too, and they try to live in a special mood. And if our young boys and girls are not so strong in the church, sometimes they look at this and try to identify themselves with this kind of groups.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, I would say, a strong youth in the church, especially because in the last 10 years, most of the people that were converted to the church got married, and we are having a lot of matrimonies composed by both members of the church. Maybe most of them are born in the church,
yeah,
and they are having their kids into the covenant. So we're having a stronger youth now, and there's a primary, you know, full of kids also coming, waiting for their time. They're a blossom. I don't know how to tell you about that.
Yeah.
So I would say that the principles of the church were well established in the country, so they receive also the right direction. We have better parents now. We have better members of the church than we had 10 or 20 years ago, where all the people were converted so young into the gospel. So many things we didn't know, maybe.
Yeah.
So there's a brilliant ray of hope for the future. I'm so happy for that, and we are so happy for the youth of the church. Although, as you said in your question, maybe pointed that it is they're now more tempted than we were 10 years ago or mm-hmm. 20 years ago.
Yep. President Hinckley always used to say the church has grown over the generations, and that's the strength you see coming up with that great second and even third generation now that is has mm-hmm. the strength to bring their friends along with them and parents and leaders who are well-founded in the gospel. And it's a miracle of growth that the Lord's prepared for this day in Chile, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm so glad for that because if this advance in technology or some other worldly inventions came to the country 20 years ago, maybe the story would be told in a different way. I think the Lord, you know, kept back these things from this part of the vineyard until we were ready to resist it.
Yeah. Well, President, it's been delightful to visit with you. If we could, as we conclude, would you mind sharing your testimony with us in English? And then after you finish, would you mind sharing your testimony again with us in Spanish?
Okay. I think that I can do that. Well, I would like to bear my feelings with you and with all the people that might hear me through your program. And as I said, I am a convert to the church. And I said, and I want to testify that I know that our Father in heaven lives. I didn't know this before joining the church, but I'm so glad that some young missionaries came or decided to serve a mission. One of them was American. So happy for him, so grateful for his love to the Lord and for the rest of mankind that decided to serve his mission. By his teaching today, many years later, I can say that God lives. I am so grateful to the Lord, and I would like to also say today that I know that my Redeemer lives. My heart is full of blessings, and all what I have, I owe it to my Lord. I'm so grateful for the life and the mission of the Prophet Joseph Smith. I know that he was the prophet. I know that he really saw Father in heaven and his son Jesus Christ in that tree, in that sacred tree, the forest. I'm so happy for the Book of Mormon because all what I believe, all what I know about God and my Savior come by reading the words of this sacred book. I testify that it was written by prophets of the Lord, and it was kept by the wise purpose of our Creator, and that came to the light again to a truthful prophet of the Lord. I bear my testimony in the sacred name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, now it will be easier to say it in Spanish. Quisiera decir a todos los que me escuchan que agradezco esta oportunidad de compartir mi testimonio. Quisiera decirles que este hombre en Chile que sirve al Señor sabe que Dios vive. Sé que mi Redentor vive y que ha dado su vida por mí y por todos mis hermanos. Sé que le sirvo a Él. Estoy agradecido por su sacrificio. Lo reconozco como mi Rey, como mi Salvador. Reconozco su sacrificio y que su sangre puede limpiar la vida de las personas. Quisiera declarar que Él es el Príncipe de la Paz, el Dios Todopoderoso. Quisiera también testificar a todos los que me escuchen que José Smith fue un profeta de Dios, que realmente vio a Dios el Padre y a su Hijo Jesucristo, que el Libro de Mormón es un registro sagrado escrito por profetas, que vino a la luz en los tiempos modernos a través de un joven puro de corazón que decidió preguntar al Señor. Testifico que Él es un profeta de Dios. Uno mis palabras a todos los que han testificado de él, que realmente el Salvador lo escogió, que es un ungido, que la restauración de la iglesia y el verdadero evangelio de Jesucristo son posibles en nuestros días a través del llamamiento divino y profético del profeta José. Dejo mi testimonio y mi gratitud al Salvador por las bendiciones que derrama sobre mí y sobre todo su pueblo. En este país llamado Chile, y lo hago en el nombre de Jesucristo. Amen.
Amen. We've been visiting with President Valentin Nunez of the Santiago, Chile, San Miguel Stake. Thank you, President, for your marvelous testimony. Our program is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart.
You have been listening to Into All the World.